the beleaguered e-cigarette company Juul Labs is restructuring its operations, cutting 650 jobs. That's 16% of its workforce. And it'll slash spending by nearly $1 billion this year. Those cost cuts will include marketing. It's a latest effort by its new CEO to try to turn the startup around following a regulatory crackdown.
Investors closely watched a lunchtime address by the U.S. president at the Economic Club of New York. While he said the U.S. was close to signing an initial trade deal, he gave no new details about negotiations. Most S&P sectors finished in positive territory, with healthcare making the most gains.
China's 24-hour shopping extravaganza has wrapped up, with retail giant Alibaba cashing in another sales record. The e-commerce heavyweight sold goods worth $38.4 billion in this year's Singles Day, more than six times the amount made in the U.S. on Black Friday last year.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Wednesday. It's November the 13th, and it's 5:10 in the morning. Thank you for joining us for another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day getting underway on the program today. We will welcome in the Associate Managing Editor of Business at the Chicago Tribune, Mary Ellen Podmolik. Top workplaces in the city list is out, and we'll talk to Mary Ellen about some of them at about 5:18 this morning. A little bit later in the program, it's our Building Business Around Town segment. Bennett Wakenight will be here with Dean Kutra-Manis, principal and CEO of GNP Realty Partners. So stay tuned. We've got a good show for you. Of course, we'll keep you posted on the latest news, weather, and sports as we move through the hour as well. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, the opening bell rings this morning after stocks finished mixed following remarks yesterday from the president on trade with China. As you heard in the opening montage, no new details on a potential trade deal or a signing. The S&P and NASDAQ both had another record day. At the closing, the Dow was unchanged, ending the day at 27,691. I saw a report yesterday that that has only happened two other times this millennia. So the century already three times that's happened. It's a very rare thing for the Dow to change, to be unchanged at the end of the day. The S&P gained about 5 points yesterday. The NASDAQ increased about 22 points. Lots of red on the screens this morning as we look at the futures markets and also stocks in Asia and Europe. In the U.S., Dow futures are down 107 points, nearly 0.75%. S&P futures down nearly a third as well. NASDAQ futures are off about 41 points this morning, nearly 0.5%. In Europe, markets in London, France, and Germany are lower, anywhere from 0.5% to nearly 0.75%. In Germany, down nearly 102 points. Trading day ending in Asia in the red as well. The Nikkei down 200 points, off nearly 0.75%. In Hong Kong, down nearly 493 points, nearly 2%. And in China, off nearly a third. Oil is trading at $56.33 a barrel in the United States. Couple of stories as we begin this morning. The Transportation Department has announced that there will be an investment of about $900 million in U.S. infrastructure. The funding has been awarded to 55 projects across 35 states. The Build Grant Program selects projects that would make a significant impact to their local communities, which includes bridges, roads, transit, much more. The Trump administration has awarded 50% of those built grants to rural communities. JetBlue is following similar efforts taken by its competitors. The New York-based airline announced it is rolling out a bare-bones economy fare class called Blue Basic. Fares are less expensive, but passengers won't be able to change or cancel their flights. Those buying the tickets will also have to board the plane last and can't choose a seat until 24 hours before the flight. Flyers will still have access to free Wi-Fi, snacks, drinks, and seat-back TV. Another hotel chain is ditching the tiny toiletries. Chicago-based Hyatt will instead put shampoo, conditioner, and bath gel in bulk-sized containers beginning in 2021. The CEO calls plastic pollution a global issue. Hyatt is also adding more fresh water stations to all of its lobbies and making bottled water only available by request. The company already stopped using plastic straws last week. Mary Ellen Podmalik is with us this morning to talk about some of the top workplaces in the city. Mary Ellen, good morning. Welcome back to the Opening Bell.
Good morning. Hi, Steve.
So what we're talking about here is workplaces that have been ranked by the employees themselves, and what were the ranking qualities that helped put together these lists?
So Energage, it's like a third-party independent research company that we work with on this. They send out questionnaires to employees that nominate their companies, and it's a 24 questions, and it's a survey that has to do with kind of leadership and the organization and what they achieve and just the sense of community that they build within the companies.
Well, as we look through, and you know, the lists are in categories, so the large category is 1,000 or more employees, the mid-size is 250 to 999, the small companies are 249 or fewer employees. I clicked first on the large, and there's some well-known companies in the top 10. Talk to us about who were the big scorers.
So there's a lot of well-known companies, in a lot of the big ones. Some of those are ones that have big operations here but might be based somewhere else. A lot of them are independents. They kind of got their start here in Chicago and grown a lot. You've got, Apt Electronics, which everybody goes up to get their big TVs. There's a lot of realty companies like Baird and Warner and Ad Properties. You've got somebody like Ace Hardware, which, of course, has stores everywhere but is based here in the Chicago area. And then there's a fair amount of financial services companies as well.
Yeah, were you surprised by any of the companies either that made the list or didn't make the list?
Well, we never know the companies that didn't make the list, and if a company doesn't nominate itself and then doesn't send out surveys or doesn't complete the surveys, they don't get on the list, so we don't see those. A lot of the ones, what's interesting is we've been doing this survey for 10 years now, and there's a lot of companies that are repeat winners, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, but there's only 9 companies in those 10 years that made the list every 10 years, which shows, there's a lot of companies that do a lot of things right, but, like everything, there's always room for improvement.
Yeah, Apt Electronics is one of those companies. I think they've been on the list for 10 years now, right?
Yeah, they have. What you see at a lot of the companies that have been on the list for quite some time is they're really doing things to engage their employees. I mean, obviously, these are really successful companies, but to get to a bigger bottom line, they're trying to do more with and for their employees.
The financial services sector that's highly represented here, was that surprising to you? Because you've got, Discover Financial is on there, Wintrust is in there, Fifth Third Bank, a couple of big banks and financial companies in there. What is it about those companies that tend to lend to this kind of listing?
Well, I kind of wonder if it's a lot of people we just outside of financial services think of those companies as, bankers for with whatever connotations come with it, right? But a lot of those companies, maybe because they are so bottom line oriented, and maybe because some of the nature of the work, really want to do more for the employees instead of just thinking about money, money, money.
Right, absolutely. I was on the small categories again. Those are 249 or fewer employees. I zoomed in. My eyes went immediately to number 9 on the list, Fairview School District number 72. Is that the only one of the only or one of the few schools that were listed?
We get a few schools every year. Every once in a while, we get like a public library, and it's interesting because you don't think of them as it's not a company, but it is an employer. And if they're doing right by their employees, that's how they get on this list.
Mary Ellen, talk to us a little bit about, some of the things that, and I don't know if the people who did the surveys were able to add comments or there were any more questioning, if it was just a ranking, but some of the comments from people that were taking part in these surveys about these companies.
So I do see comments from a lot of employees who make them public, or there's like little snippets of their comments. What seems really interesting to me, and if you look at all three of the lists in terms by size, is the winning companies do things for their employees, regardless of their size. It's interesting. You think even a small little company that has 75 workers or 175 workers thinks they don't have the time to do things, but they are finding ways to do it. And a lot of employees that are engaged at these companies are ones that they have found they're more. It's more inclusive. It's not just top down. There seems to be a bigger effort toward transparency and somewhat of a lack of hierarchy. I mean, all these companies are in business to make money. That's what, you know, corporate America is. But I hear more and I see more about, you know, bosses are doing more things with their employees. There's volunteer efforts outside of the workplace for them to help out the community. And again, it's team building, right? There's a company that has like an appreciation lunch every year, and it's the company, the heads of the companies, the managers who are serving the employees on that. It just seems there's an increasing effort to be more than lip service in, you know, creating that family atmosphere the company has always talk about. And I think some of that might have to do with, you know, there's a lot of people that can leave their jobs right now and look for something better. I mean, the unemployment rate is about 3.2% right now. I mean, there's never been a better time to go look for another job. So companies want to recruit, and then they really want to keep their best people. And this is one way to do it, regardless of their size.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, because you mentioned a couple of the different qualities. These lists are for the companies that didn't make them. Probably a good learning opportunity. They can learn something about how to change their own workplace culture and workplace setting.
Oh, very much so. And when we pick the companies, and we profile 9 companies every year that have made this list. And as we're looking through some of their survey responses and the things that they do for their employees, that's what we're looking for. I mean, things that people that and companies that think outside the box a little bit and really want to kind of take things to the next level. Hopefully their profitability comes along with that because, you know, frankly, there's not as much time and opportunity to do more if you're struggling to keep the lights on.
Yeah, and if people are confused about whether or not this means an actual physical workplace, a couple of the companies on here, I see, like McHugh Construction, those folks work outside a lot. So it's not necessarily having the best office, is it?
Oh, it's not at all, right? And there's a lot of telecommuting right now. There's a lot of road warriors that travel. There's a lot of people that work from home. And it's interesting to bring that up, Steve, because actually some of the flexibility issues that and the time that companies are giving their employees to work however they work best and not necessarily across the desk for you is one of the things that I think employees really seem to value in the environment that we're in right now.
Well, Mary Ellen, we appreciate you being on with us this morning. People can find this list over at chicagotribune.com and read more of your material as well. Thank you for being with us this morning.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Mary Ellen Podmalik, Associate Managing Editor, the Business Editor at the Chicago Tribune. The list, again, available at chicagotribune.com. In the large companies, it's Berkshire Hathaway Home Services at number 1, Salesforce at number 2, Apt Electronics at number 3, the mid-sized companies, Impact Networking at number 1, the small companies, Holiday Inn, Chicago Mart, River Plaza, at number 1 there. So, again, the list at chicagotribune.com, and we'll link out to it in the podcast of The Opening Bell a little bit later on this morning.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to the program. We're watching global stock markets shrink further into the red after President Trump said he would raise tariffs on Chinese goods very substantially if the two sides fail to reach an interim trade deal. London, Frankfurt, Shanghai, Tokyo, all in retreat. Shanghai by nearly 500 points. Trump says agreement on the deal announced last month could happen soon, but warned he is ready to raise tariffs if it doesn't. The comments had little impact on Wall Street yesterday, which closed with modest gains except for the Dow, which closed relatively unchanged. We also watching the politics of business as well. Senator Elizabeth Warren proposing a new policy where large corporations would be punished for perjury for misleading regulators. Warren says her proposal would target companies like ExxonMobil, which spent millions of dollars to cover up the effects of fossil fuels on climate change. The Democratic presidential hopeful plan calls for hitting companies with fines of up to $250,000 for submitting false or misleading information to government regulators. Executives could also face prison for violations of the policy. Let's get more now on agriculture and commodities this morning. Here's Orion Samuelson.
Good morning and greetings from Kansas City, Missouri, where the opening session of the National Association of Farm Broadcasting will get underway later today. It will continue through Saturday of this week. Flying from Phoenix to Denver to Kansas City, a different landscape wherever I went. No snow on the ground as we flew from Phoenix to Denver, except for white snow caps on the Rocky Mountains. Quite a bit of snow visible from the air on the Rockies. But then when we got out of Denver heading for Kansas City, bare ground until we probably got 200 miles from Kansas City. We started to see the results of another snowstorm. Not heavy snow, but certainly a snow covering. And talking to farm broadcasters from snow country and winter country, particularly in the upper Midwest, they are still talking about the frustrating year that started way too wet for planting and now is ending too cold and too wet for a proper harvest. That's Ag Business. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. Apple's parts supplier Foxconn has posted a 23% gain in its third quarter profit. The Taiwanese company reports a net profit of $1 billion for the July through September quarter, compared to $820 million for the third quarter of 2018. Foxconn is the world's biggest contract electronics manufacturer. Apple is Foxconn's biggest customer. Foxconn currently developing its newest site in southeast Wisconsin. 2 weeks after the Federal Reserve cut interest rates for a third time this year, Fed Chairman Jerome Powell is due to testify in Congress about the U.S. economic outlook. The Fed signaled after its October 29th, 30th meeting that it would probably hold off on any further cuts as long as the economy stays healthy and inflation moves closer to the Fed's target of 2%. Again, the Fed Chairman Jerome Powell testifying before Congress. A federal lawsuit accuses Facebook of censorship after the company reportedly deleted a user's post naming the alleged Ukraine whistleblower that started the impeachment inquiry into President Trump. The lawsuit filed yesterday by a Connecticut law school student who wanted to see if Facebook was deleting posts mentioning the name. That name was published by some outlets. It's been kept secret by lawmakers over safety concerns. Facebook said in a statement that it's mentioning the name violates its policies, but it will revisit the decision if the name becomes widely published. We turn now to the monthly Building Business Around Town conversation presented by Associated Bank. And Bennett Wignight stayed right here in downtown Chicago to learn about GNP Realty Partners.
I'm Bennett Wignight with WGN Radio, and this is Building Business Around Town brought to you by Associated Bank. And we're here on the Mag Mile, smack dab in the middle of downtown Chicago at GMP Realty Partners. And this is Dean Kutramanis, the principal and CEO of GMP. Dean, thank you so much for having us in today.
Thank you for having me.
So when it comes to GMP, real estate is kind of the focus where you guys shine, and you guys cover it all when it comes to real estate. So give us an idea as to kind of the different avenues that you guys focus on when it comes to the business.
So GMP Realty Partners is a all-inclusive real estate company, and we do everything from leasing to sales to construction. We have a janitorial company as well that we have. We have a doorman security company, so we're also a general contractor. We do construction work. So we're encompassing like a one-stop shop type of thing in our business.
So then let's take a step back and from the time that you started to the success that you guys have had now. Set the scene a little bit as to how you ended up into the real estate world and just kind of the way that you found yourself into this large project that is GMP.
Well, I started in college. I wanted to be a policeman, but that didn't work out too well. I wanted to be a policeman. I thought I was going to save the world and be the best. But as I got into it more and more, there was a more difficult thing than I thought. So I gave up that part of my career and I started getting into hotel management. So I went into hotel management, and at the time I was with Corporate Holiday Inns. And while I was with hotel management, that business is a very difficult business to be in. And the management side, there isn't anything more harder than that. And it took a toll on me health-wise, just because the hours and you weren't with your family and so forth. So I wound up leaving it and going to work for a small boutique firm that did construction and did own real estate, and got to learn the construction side of the business, the real estate side of the business. But eventually, my wife was doing accounting work for real estate companies, construction companies, and someone had mentioned to us that maybe we should do this together collectively and try it, and we talked about it in 2005. And then in 2006, we kind of put it in motion, and really, that's when it started. We said we're going to create a business that was a family-oriented business, and we did. It's her and I, and my brothers have some involvement in it, and all of our employees are family. We treat them as family, and they truly are family, as we treat our clients the same way.
And even just walking into the building is the realtor building, and Absolutely. This is probably some of the best real estate you can get when it comes to downtown Chicago, right here on the Mag Mile.
We talked about it briefly earlier. I mean, I said this, and I mean it. I mean, the Mag Mile is far above what the Fifth Avenue in New York is. I mean, it certainly is, and you could see that we're doing what's being done, and I'm on the Mag Mile board as well, and you could see up and down the street here what's being done, especially with this building across the street with the Tribune, you know, with Lee Golub and so forth, and everybody did with the Wrigley Building, you know, BTD did with the Wrigley Building, and it's definitely the place to be, the Mag Mile.
Yeah. One of the projects that you're working on is a massive expansion on the top floor of the building. So give us a little bit of background on the project.
So the National Association of Realtors actually are the owners of the building. This is their headquarters. They have a building in D.C. and one here. And the decision was made that they were going to redo the building and continue to have this to be their home, which makes sense. So they basically bring in this building up to the 21st century, and it comes to amenities and all the infrastructure that was in place in 62. And it's a massive undertaking, and we're glad to be part of it. We certainly are their family to us, and we treat them like family, and they treat us like family. And we're in the process of finishing up the two-story addition on the building that the National Association of Realtors will have. And eventually we're going to be moving tenants all throughout and giving them all new spaces as their leases expire. And we're going to be doing each floor to the 21st century or better of infrastructure. And that's what we're in the process of doing right now. And we just finished an amenity space on the ground floor and the lower level. And that's one of the things that they're working on, to bring this to the level of, so as they're attracting people, new people that would be working for them, is to have that ability to have that great space. And this is what we've done here at this building. And it's being done everywhere commercially. Is the office market is probably the best it's been in this downtown area in a long time is now. From a residential standpoint, you know just as well as I do, and our listeners know, the market has changed. The recession in 08 changed things a little bit, made things a little bit worse. City of Chicago still hasn't caught up with the pricing, you know, where the suburbs are a little different. So that's one of the things we're catching up, but it's the best hidden secret of what the value of what you have in these residential properties right now. They're not going to stay down as long as people think. They're going to be on the up.
So if anybody has been familiar with the real estate market or heard anything about Chicago outside of the city, they might be familiar with the West Loop, as there's headquarters coming in from all around the country and real estate, residential, that's just been blowing up. And that's one of the spaces where we've really been keeping our eyes on. And I imagine you guys have as well.
Absolutely. And you hit it. It's like these big companies, you know, McDonald's and Google and everybody else that's coming in, and the IT companies that are coming down here. It's amazing. I think it's somewhere in the top five of most expensive real estate in the country, yeah. New York being number one. And it's amazing how I'm seeing that change and all of it changing. And it has a lot to do with the fact of this is that it was a great area. The buildings were great. The roads were built in such a big area. You know, they're wider and so forth. And it's a great opportunity that we have here in Chicago to have that. A lot of it had to do with the millennial trend of all these companies coming in and attracting this talent pool that we're trying to attract here as well by the work that's being done by the National Association of Realtors to get that talent pool. But certainly That is a great area that's come up there.
And one of those pillars within the trends and the evolution of real estate right now at the moment is the LEED certification of these buildings. Yes. And that's a very, very important part. And you guys know your way around when it comes to green management as well.
We do. And we have our senior vice president runs our construction division, John Gagliardo, and we have Joel Tracy, who's our vice president of operations, who's actually LEED certified. We had this conversation as we were doing this project, is how to bring it to LEED. And actually, because it's such an older building, it was a very difficult thing to do, and what you were going to get out of it didn't work. But that's one of the most important things that we're doing as construction and developers, is to have the ability to grow at that and do it at the right time. In the right opportune time to get that to be part of our projects that we do.
Right, and absolutely something that's not going away anytime soon. So,
if anything, it's going to get stronger.
You mentioned the family as a big part of the business, the big part of the way you guys go about doing your projects and everything, and partners that are involved with that. Associated Bank is one of those partners. You have kind of the interesting perspective as far as the roots to your business and the way that Associated Bank has kind of grown with you as well, right?
So how it worked out is I was on the hook for a significant amount of money, and the other partners filed bankruptcy, but I chose not to. But I told Associated Bank at that meeting, I looked them in the eyes, and I said, one day I'm going to try to get in the business, and I could tell you I'll give you all my business. And I could tell at the room, you know, they all looked at me and said, what a nice guy he is, but he's full of, you know what.
Never see him again, right.
You know, that's never going to happen. And so that was one of the things that I wanted to do, is to get in the business for myself. So we had our first client, and we called Associated Bank, and they had our first deposit, and they continue to have them today with the majority of our clients. Some of our clients have, you have to use their specific banks because of restrictions on their loans, but I'd say the majority, 80% of our business is with Associated, and we're happy for it. We've gotten some great relationships. We always talk about them, you know, the people that started, and having that ability to call someone, an individual, and not someone at an ivory tower that you're not going to get a response, that you send an email. We get responses immediately. You know, my wife, who's our CFO, our controller, Rosie. So Vasi and Rosie always continue to have that relationship. They come down, meet us 2-3 times a year to ask us how things are going. And to me, they're golden. They're part of the success of our business is because of Associated Bank.
Right. And as things continue to grow, I imagine that relationship is going to grow only stronger as well.
And absolutely. We're in the process of figuring out how we can work with them and do development on our own instead of being a developer for someone else to do stuff on our own.
Well, as we continue to see the Mag Mile, the rest of the downtown, and the larger Chicago area grow, we're excited to see things grow with you guys at GMP. And thank you so much for having us in today and talking to us a little bit about the ins and outs of the industry right now, and we appreciate you sharing the story.
Well, thank you so very much.
That's Bennett Wake Night with Business Around Town, sponsored by Associated Bank. This is the opening bell on 720 WGN. On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Wednesday, November the 13th, the inflation rate for October comes out today. Economists expect to see inflation slipping to an annualized rate of 1.6%, down from 1.7% in September. Additionally, Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell reports to Congress today. Powell will testify before the Joint Economic Committee at 10 o'clock Chicago time. Also today, the MBA mortgage applications are due out. We'll also see some other Fed speakers as well, Tom Barkin and Neil Kashkari. On the earnings calendar today, we will see Canada Goose, Luckin Coffee, and Cisco among the major companies reporting quarterly financial earnings either before or after the bell closes, before the open or after the close on Wall Street. Just some of the things that could move the markets on Wednesday, November the 13th.